you welcome Pastor Emily Christensen. Stand to your feet and give her a welcome.
Am I on? Okay, I kind of hear it. Okay. So, you know, him adopting me as a daughter, he asked me to wear this. And so when your daddy asks you to wear it, you got to say yes. And so that's what I'm doing. Pastor Ruth, that was lovely this morning. An excellent word. And oh, man, I'm like Benaiah. I guess we cry a lot, Benaiah. Where are you? Yeah. So anyway, I'm always humbled every time that I get to be up here. And when I'm asked, I just think, oh, why? But God knows why. And so if I just say yes and I continue to walk in obedience with him, he will continue to use me. And what I have seen is that when I do say yes, then that's when the growth occurs. You step out in faith. It's scary. You think how? But he knows the how, and he knows the way. I no longer find circumstances in my life as coincidences. I recognize everything in my life is directed and ordained by my God and my Savior since I am his child. It gives me great joy and it gives me great peace to know that Almighty God, he is directing my paths. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is trying to penetrate our minds right now, the you that are here now tonight, to penetrate and get into our minds, into our spirits, into our bodies, that we must trust, we must obey, and we must fear the Lord with an awesome respect that we have never experienced before in our lives and that we've never done before in such a way. And this comes from a position of humility. You see, I think it's Gary Fur back there. I don't know. It's that guy right there. Oh, okay. All right. All right. But it comes from a position of humility. You see, there's no reason to trust and obey and fear the Lord if we believe that we can do it on our own. I've begun to really want and hunger and thirst after righteousness more in my life than I ever have before. And I thank my senior pastor for that because he shows us as a shepherd of what that's like. I want everything he has in my life for me. I want it all that he has so that I can pour out to others. And one of the things I've been really yearning for is wisdom. I consider myself, you know, wisdom is sometimes slow to speak, and I'm not always slow to speak. My husband can attest to that. And I just really, though, I think of wisdom and I think of Miss Ruth, and I mean, many people I can name in my life that I believe exemplify wisdom. But I've really been seeking and I've been praying and I've been desiring to have more wisdom in my life. And Miss Tracy, you did a craft one time with, you remember the little cards that we did our scripture? And I chose James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So I've been asking for God. And so to know more, to understand him more, we have this awesome book that we can know and we can understand him more and we can seek out scripture. And so I just began to ask, how can I have more wisdom in my life? you know, what really is wisdom? And through my studies, through my just looking, and you guys have to understand, I don't have any sort of training. I have no theological background. I did go to a college that was biblical based, but I only took the core courses. That was not my degree. That wasn't my, I didn't think I would ever be doing anything that had an opportunity to be speaking. So please understand that everything that I get from here is through revelation from the Holy Spirit and seeking godly counsel and godly wisdom. So please, if there's something I don't say correctly, forgive me of those things, because I know the Lord will. So what is wisdom? And I have began to see that the result, wisdom is truly the result of having the Lord as Lord of your life. That you begin to gain wisdom and understanding as you begin to know and as you begin to grow in the Lord. That it's really obeying and understanding His commandments. That it's actually wisdom is obtained by living out the faith. As living out as followers of Christ. In Proverbs 3, my study, the Lord directed me really to Proverbs chapter 3. The rewards of wisdom is what it's titled. And this, if you are not familiar with Proverbs 3, it is a great, great scripture. I mean, it's just fantastic. If it doesn't make you feel good, I don't know what will. But it's where we get the Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. That's where that comes from. But as I began to study this and read it and to dig in a little bit more, words started popping out at me. And there's words that become evident that require a continuous action. And here are some words. I just want you to, if you're familiar at all with it, these will probably come to your mind. In verse 1, do not forget, keep. Verse 3, do not let leave you. Write them and bind them. Take hold, hold her fast. Let them not vanish, keep. Are you seeing kind of a pattern of some words, some action words? That causes me, as I was reading through that causes me to recognize and understand that there is a, not only an action, if we don't do that though, if we don't do those things, then we will lose whatever it is that the scripture is talking about specifically in that, right? So if we don't hold fast, if we don't write them, if we don't bind them, if we don't keep them on the tablets of our heart, whatever we need to do, then they will become forgotten. Or they will become lost in our lives. So I want you to get a hold of that, because that's kind of where this is all going tonight. I actually called Pastor Sam or texted it, I don't remember, and I said, I'm reading in Proverbs 3 and I'm seeing it saying bind things and write things on the tablet of your heart. Is there any sort of, is there anything to this? And him being the great scholar of the word and wisdom that he had, directed me to some Jewish traditions. And so, Brian, if you have the picture of the binding, and this is, I don't know how to pronounce it, T-E-F-I-L-L-I-N. All right. So that is, this is a Jewish tradition, they actually bind. This is a reminder, and I will explain the scripture. And then the next photo, this is on the frontals, okay? And then the next photo, please. Keep going. There. That's a mezuzah. And they will put those around their doorposts. And there's another example of one. And so what those are from and what they are referencing, is you want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 with me. They're referencing, these are a reminder, these are references for them in their lives as a Jewish tradition to not forget. certain things, what the Lord brought them out of. It's a representation of their Jewish culture in their lives. And it's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 through 9. These are specifically the two scriptures. So in those mezuzah, and I could be saying them wrong, so forgive me, but they are the ones on the doorpost. They actually have scrolls, and you could see it on the frontals too, scrolls that are inside of these with the scripture. Have I got it? Written. Okay. And here's the scripture. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Does this sound familiar to anyone? With all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. That doesn't leave much out, does it? Those are all the positions. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gate. And then also it's a reference to Deuteronomy chapter 11, 13 through 21. Let's see. It shall come about if you listen obediently to my commandments, which I am commanding you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul, that he will give the rain. I love this scripture because it's telling us and telling the Jews, or the Israelites, he will give the rain for your land in its season, and early and late rain, that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil. He will give you grass in your fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Beware that your hearts are not deceived, and that you do not turn away and serve other gods and worship them. Or the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain, and the ground will not yield its fruit, and you will perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. And then it goes on to say when you lie down, and it's very similar basically to Deuteronomy 6 as well. So those are the actual, just going back to that, those are the scriptures then on the scrolls, and it's a way for them to keep them in their life as a reminder, okay? So I am not suggesting that's something you need to do. It's a way for them to actually also identify them as Jewish tradition. But what I am suggesting is that how can you keep the commandments? How do you keep the word of God in your life where it is not only evident to the world, but also a remembrance to you in your life, a remembrance of what the Lord brought you from and where you were going to. I was studying a little more about that mezuzah, and it says it's a daily reminder, and see if this you can find a parallel in our life, and a public declaration, a daily reminder and a public declaration of Jewish identity and faith. It recalls the Exodus from Egypt when the lamb's blood was smeared on the doorpost and identifying the Jewish homes that God passed over during the plague of the firstborn. From that day forward, the mezuzah has always identified a home as being Jewish. And I don't know about you, but I want every time my husband and I, we've talked about this when we built our home, when we did what we did, we just wanted everyone to know that when they walked through our home, that it was a home that worshiped the Lord. It was a home that loved the Lord. It was a home that was that you felt the love of Christ. And I want that not only in my home, I want that in my personal life, that it is an evident that people, not to sound cliche, but that people see Jesus. I mean, we really may be the only Jesus that they have seen in their lives. And so what are we putting off in our lives? Out of the abundance of our heart, right? Yes. And we've got to be able to show and exemplify in our lives in such a way that they can identify us as followers of Christ. We should be in a constant state of remembrance, a constant state of reminding ourselves not only of the commandments of God, by reading the Word of God and hearing the Word of God. So we do that in our own personal lives, but we do it also here together as a congregation, and it's an encouragement to us. But of remembering of what He brought us from, the Egyptians, or they were in slavery, right, with the Egyptians, the Israelites were. They were in slavery. They were in bondage. And so they bind those things on them to remember them of what the Lord brought them out of. And so we, as believers, we can know what the Lord brought us out of. You know of a time when you were lost and now you are found. You know of a time when you were going to an eternal hell, but now you are going to an eternal heaven, an eternal life. You know of the time when you were not serving the Lord and you were serving the devil, basically, in your life. And that was death, and it was not life. And now you're in a place that you do have life. I believe I'm speaking to mostly believers tonight. And if you don't have that, if you don't have a life and an eternal life in Christ, tonight is the night to do it. And it occurred to me that when reading through Proverbs 3, hang on, we went from a land of slavery, I got to read this. We went from a land of slavery to a land of freedom. We went from poverty to a land of flowing with milk and honey. We went from emptiness and we went to fullness. We went from hopelessness and we went to a hope in our Christ Jesus. So why would we not show the world what we have? Why would we not remember those things and remember what the Lord has done? Why would we keep them to ourselves? That is not what the Lord has commissioned us to do. We are to be the light of the world. And I was reading in Proverbs 3, the rewards of wisdom. Here's yet another reason of why we would not live our lives out for Christ in such a way that exemplifies wisdom and that shows wisdom of having Christ as Lord of our lives. There are 16 benefits that I was able just to list off in only one chapter. 16 benefits. And there's probably, you guys could probably even argue there might even be more because I pushed a few together. Here are some benefits. Read with me, if you will. Go through Proverbs. We'll start at verse 1 and go all the way through verse 26. I'm going to paraphrase and just kind of pull out the words, but you'll be able to go with me. Length of days and years of life. That's a benefit. Peace. How many of you want a little more peace in your life? How about this? Favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Straight paths. Healing to your body. Refreshment to your bones. I mean, that's like deep in there, right? Healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Barns filled and vats will overflow. That's speaking of God's provisions, right? I mean, more than what we need. Profit of wisdom is better than silver. It's better than fine gold. It's more precious than jewels. And nothing that you would ever want in your life will compare to it. That's the benefit of having wisdom, of having Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. Long life, it lists that again. Riches and honor. Pleasant ways. Paths are peace. There's that peace word yet again. Tree of life. Don't you get the visual of our logo? That's what I get our visual now of the tree of life. Happiness. Happiness. I mean, you know, joy, we know joy, it may even be referencing joy in here if you go back to the original context. Life to your soul and adornment to your neck. That one stuck out to me as not only is it internal, but it's external too, right? Adornment to our neck. It will be evident to others. You will walk securely. Walk securely. When you lie down, these are my favorite here at the end. When you lie down, you will not be afraid, and your sleep will be sweet. When you lie down, you will not be afraid, and your sleep will be sweet. Because, I want to just put that because word, because the Lord will be our confidence, and he will keep your foot from being caught. I mean, that is our God. Those are, again, as I said earlier, if you read Proverbs 3, those are just a few, I mean, that's just a little bit of the Bible. That's just a tiny bit of the Bible, but what wisdom and what truth and what blessings that we can get from just living out a life for Christ. It tells us right there. The commandments of God set us free. No longer look at this Bible as a bunch of rules. I'm telling you, it is freedom, isn't it, Pastor Shane? It is not a rule book. As I've heard it said, it is a joy book. And it really is. This is the freedom book. This is the book of life. This will give you wisdom. This will give you discernment. This will give you understanding in your life. It is your manual, and it is your bread of life. Treasure your time that you have to spend with the Lord, reading his word. Because then you will know and you will understand him even more in such a way that you never have before. That is what he desires for us to do. He desires us to just grow in him and to know him intimately. Pastor Sam, it is going to be a short message, I think. My prayer for you and my desire for you would be best summarized in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1 and 2. This is Moses speaking to those Israelites. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach, that you might do them in the land where you were going over to possess it. This is before they had been into the promise. We now can see it as we are in the promise right now in our lives. That you might do them in the land where you're going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson, generations to come, you guys, you are changing generations right now. And your family. I want you to stand firm in your belief of the word of God. And I want you to stand alone in a way that people know you are a child of God. We have got to do that tonight, church. I'm telling you, we cannot blend in anymore. We cannot blend in anymore. We have to be unique. We have to be a peculiar people, as the word says. So that you and your son and your grandson and your grandson's grandsons, and you see, it keeps going. It keeps going. You are the seed to change that. That they might fear the Lord your God. That means, as Pastor Sam said, have an awesome respect for him, which is to hate what he hates and to love what he loves. To keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Our desire to please the Lord is a good desire. I once heard someone tell me that I need to stop trying to please the Father. And I don't even know. I don't even know why that would ever even be mentioned or said in such a way. But we should want to please our Heavenly Father. We should want to give him every praise, and we should want to show him our lives, that it is a living testimony unto him that shows his mercy, his grace, his love, and we should want to please him. That he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We, as I mentioned in the beginning, I'm just going to recap with that. I believe that the Lord is specifically trying to get into our heads tonight, those that are here, that we must trust. I mean, really trust, you guys. You need to search your heart. Trust, obey, and to fear the Lord. Love what he loves, hate what he hates. That's when the true wisdom of God is going to come over our lives. Right? Well, stand with me. I just feel strongly that just then when I was just saying that you can't read the Word of God and not want to repent in your life. So if there's any of you here tonight, and I'm going to be the first one, if there's anyone that feels like, Lord, I do want to completely trust you, I do want to fear you, Lord. I want to hate what you hate, and I want to love what you love. And I want to obey you, Father. I want to please you. You can come forward. I'm telling you, he knows your heart. He knows if you really want to do better. And he's going to come right where you are.